Lecture topic, after all it's dunya.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, in the name of Allah, most gracious, most merciful. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, all praises are due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Lord of the worlds, creator, nourisher, cherisher, sustainer of one and all. Wa usalli wa usallim ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi at-tayyibin at-tahirin. وَمَنْ تَبِعَهُمْ بِإِحْسَانٍ إِلَى يَوْمِ الدِّينِ وَعَنَّا مَعَهُمْ بِمَنِّكَ وَإِحْسَانِهِ اللهم إنا نسألك الهدى والتقى والعفاف والغنى. Blessings and salutations upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Blessings and salutations upon all the companions and all those who have followed him, and upon us together with all of them. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept us, and upon our offspring until the day of Qiyamah. May Allah keep us all steadfast on this deen. We ask Allah piety, we ask Allah the consciousness of Him at all times, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala purity and chastity for all of us and for our offspring to come until the day of Qiyamah. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala independence, in the sense that we would like to depend on none other than Him. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fulfill our needs. Honored ulama, beloved brothers, dearest sisters and listeners in Islam, tonight, I have chosen to describe to you a certain verse, or to translate a certain verse wherein the description of the dunya exists. In this Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has spoken in many places of the dunya. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has explained to us, what is this dunya? Why? The reason is, we need to recognize the dunya. We need to know what it is. We need to know what is expected from us. And we need to know where we were prior to our birth, where we are right now, and where we are heading post-death. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mercy upon us. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives many examples. In a verse that was read in Salatul Maghrib tonight, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also explains,
فَلَا تَغُرَّنَّكُمُ الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا وَلَا يَغُرَّنَّكُمْ بِاللَّهِ الْغَرُورِ.
Do not let this dunya deceive you and make you oblivious of the akhirah, and of the fact that you are going to die, and of the fact that there is a day of judgment that is going to follow. Don't allow the dunya, by becoming so deep into it, do not allow it to make you forget the fact that you are answerable for everything that you do or say. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. And do not allow the great deceiver, who is shaitan, to deceive you and to make you forget the same. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always make us from amongst those who can bear in mind and be conscious that there is a day of qiyamah. We all say it very beautifully when we declare our iman, and we all say we believe in the last day, we believe in the fact that there is a day of judgment. But sometimes how we continue and carry on a day-to-day basis, our deeds are saying something else. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make our deeds also deeds that will bear witness for us and not against us. Remember, it is never too late. Seeking forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the door of doing that is always opened until the final moment. But tawbah is not for the one who now gets to his deathbed and is now about to die, has entered sakarat, and then he says, Ya Allah, I seek forgiveness. We need to seek forgiveness here and now. And we need to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide us and to keep us away from shaitan. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala do that for us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, speaking about this dunya,
اعلموا أنما الحياة الدنيا لعب وله وزينة وزينة وتفاخر بينكم وتكاثر في الأموال والأولاد كمثل غيث أعجب الكفار نباته ثم يهيج فتراه مصفرا ثم يكون حطاما وفي الآخرة عذاب شديد ومغفرة من الله ورضوان وما الحياة الدنيا إلا متاع الغرور.
What a beautiful verse. That is the topic of tonight's discussion, inshallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant me benefit, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala benefit one and all. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you should know, bear in mind, remember, remind one another, and remember that part of knowledge is that you know what the dunya is. Allah says, you should know that definitely, indeed, verily, this dunya is a play. A play meaning when we are born and we come into this dunya, at that moment, what makes us happy? What are we interested in? We know absolutely nothing. We are taught to speak later on. We are taught language. We are taught the Quran. We are taught various subjects later on. But at the initial point, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, in this dunya, there is play. And then he goes on to say, and amusement. Some of the Mufassirin have explained it beautifully. They say the order that is used in the Quran is the precise order when it comes to the development of man. And exactly how man goes up, that is how Allah has described it, starting with play. Why didn't Allah start with amusement? Because a little baby, small things make the baby happy. You have a little rattle with a few beans inside, a few stones inside, and you just shake it a little bit. That play makes the child happy. It is simple play at that stage. When you are small, you cannot take a remote control car to a newborn baby because you would be foolish. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us understanding. Allah says it starts off. This is the beginning of the dunya. When you came, when I came, when everyone came into this dunya, what made us happy initially was small play. Something, someone looked at us and smiled, giggled, tickled us a little bit and shook us, and we started laughing and we were happy. That was the height of our existence at the time. This dunya started off with a little play, something small to make you happy. Thereafter, as you grow, now you are 3, 4, 5 years old. Tell me, does the same rattle with the beans inside, does it work for a 5-year old now? They'll throw it back at you. They'll open it up, take the beans out and throw it out. Because now it becomes a bit complex. Allah says, la'ibun. Then he continues to say, wa lahun. Lahu is amusement, slightly more sophisticated than la'ib. So now what comes in? These game boys, these little games, these remote control cars, something more sophisticated. That is the next stage. And if you ask the little child, what makes you happy? Oh, daddy, you are going for Umrah. Yes, a lot of the children nowadays, mashallah, there is an awakening. They will tell you, make dua for me. But together with that, they'll say, but don't forget my PlayStation, daddy. It's a fact. Because now they are at the stage of lahu, where they need slightly more sophisticated playing. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us lesson. And we all passed through it. Today they are more fortunate because the amusement is slightly more complex. Many years ago, we didn't know all this. We used to be happy with very minor issues. Today, if you are to bring out those things which made us happy, the children of today will tell you, nay, this is 1960 stuff. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes and he says, walahun. Then what happens? Now the child grows, he becomes a teenager. Now, more importantly, he begins suddenly to look into the mirror to see how many pimples he has on his face or her. A girl will be obsessed with the mirror. Why? She is worried about the beauty, the beautification. Allah says, la'ibun wa lahun, and thereafter, wazinatun. Subhanallah. They're worried about beautification. And not only that, if you have a car, what type of a car? Why? Because it is zina. I know when I was in Durban, one of the brothers was telling me that in one of the Muslim schools, one of the children of the rich, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us all, a little girl, when daddy comes to pick her up with a baki, meaning with a little vanette, to school, she says, "Daddy, go back, come back with the Mercedes. Because the children here are watching me. I'm not going to jump into this car." What is that? May Allah save us. Wallahi, whatever vehicle your parents drive, that is the vehicle you shall jump into. You don't ever tell parents to move back and go and collect another car just because you are ashamed of jumping into a truck. Nay. But this is understandable in the sense that the upbringing of this child must have been somehow, somewhere connected to beautification without limits. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the understanding of the limits in Islam of this beautification. When a woman would like to beautify herself, there are reasons. She cannot just do it in order to get out on the street and to display herself to others. No. She must do it for her husband. Today, what happens in our houses? For the husband, nothing is done. But as soon as you're leaving, you find a woman putting lipstick. Where are you going? I'm going to the shops. Does it make sense? It's the opposite. Look at what shaitan did to us. That lipstick was supposed to be when you're coming back from the shops. As you enter, you might take it out and say, "I'm entering my house. I need a smile for my husband." But nay, the tables have turned. You leave, you put on all the makeup. That is tabarruj. Allah says in the Quran, and He warns us, and He warns all the wives of the prophets and all the believing women regarding tabarruj.
وَلَا تَبَرَّجْنَ تَبَرُّجَ الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ الْأُولَىٰ
O wives of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, do not engage in tabarruj, which is beautification for the wrong reasons, similar to the period of ignorance. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us understanding. But that is a stage. You find there is a stage when boys and girls, especially adolescent boys and girls, they are interested in the type of phone I have. The type of phone. Years ago, it was a cell phone. To have a cell phone was an in thing. But today, if you've got a Nokia 3110, you are embarrassed. May Allah save us. Why? You need a bigger number. You need a Nokia 85560. I don't know if it exists, but it will come. Don't worry. Why? Because if people see me with this big brick, as they call it, a brick, it's so heavy in my pocket, it's a disgrace. Now people are worried at that age of zina. Many times I have seen parents having huge phones which are very backdated, and the child walks in with the latest slick small phone which just fits into the palm. And so the parents are working at times in order to give their children. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us and our children. But that is a stage. Allah says, look, that's another stage. Wazina. And thereafter, what happens?
وَتَفَاخُرٌ بَيْنَكُمْ
After that comes the competition with one another. This man's driving this, I need to drive this. That man's doing this, this man's a doctor, I need to be this, I need to be that. And so on. Competition in everything. This man's wearing this jacket, I need to wear that. This man's got this, I need to wear this. Competition in what? Competition in dunya. Remember, this verse is describing the dunya. Now if you were to work concurrently with my speech right now and try and equate it with what is meant to be happening in terms of deen, then we would understand that this is just a one-sided issue. We're talking here only of dunya. Imagine if we had to look at what Allah tells us to compete in. Allah says, فَاسْتَبِقُوا الْخَيْرَاتِ Compete in goodness when it comes to charities, when it comes to Quran, when it comes to salah, when it comes to zakah, and so on. Compete in those things. Allah says,
وَسَارِعُوا إِلَىٰ مَغْفِرَةٍ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ وَجَنَّةٍ
Allah says, make haste, race when it comes to what? The mercy of Allah and His forgiveness. And when it comes to Jannah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept us all. The Sahaba radiallahu anhum, we know how Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu came with half his wealth. And Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu competed in what? He brought all his wealth. He says, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I am giving this in the path of Allah. What did he leave back with his family? He left Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Those were the people who knew what competition was all about. But today when we compete, and that is another stage, we compete in business. Oh, I've got four branches, he's only got three, I'm one up. And let me open a fifth one before he opens a fourth. And mine are bigger in size. So many hundred square meters, so many thousand square meters. My turnover is so much. MashaAllah. Yes, Alhamdulillah. We are happy for you and we hope Allah grants you barakah in your wealth and in your businesses. But together with that, what have you done for this deen? What have you done for the eternal life? This will help you. You might suffer a heart attack at a very early age and leave. Then are you going to take your businesses when the angels ask you, Mar Rabbuk, Waman Nabiyuk? Are you going to say, I've got a business, four branches, hang on, wait, treat me differently. Can you be treated differently? Nay, I used to have a Nokia, which was a very, very late model. So just hang on, let me make a phone call. Can you do that? No. I used to drive this type of a vehicle. I used to have this and that. Can we do that? No. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is trying to show us that look at this deception of this dunya. Yes, people compete, but they do not balance the competition. And in no ways am I suggesting that we must divorce ourselves from the dunya. No. We all need to earn a livelihood. May Allah grant us lives that are comfortable enough for us to come to the masjid on time. May Allah grant us lives that are comfortable enough that we don't have to have worries of the dunya. We rather worry about our deen. But when we dive straight into the deep end in the dunya, then what do we expect? We'll be swimming. You're swimming in which pool? Deen or dunya? You cannot swim in two pools at one time. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says there comes a point when there is tafakhur, when there is that competition with one another, the pride, the haughtiness. People want to be higher, you know, lifting their noses a few inches above the others, thinking that 1 centimeter will make a difference in the oxygen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us understanding. It doesn't help in any way. It doesn't. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues to say,
وَتَكَاثُرُوا فِي الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَوْلَادِ.
Now that you are competing with one another in everything, what happens? Some are married in the process, and some are married slightly prior, and some are married a little bit later. So marriage comes into the picture at some point there. Once you are married, now you begin to amass. Amass what? Amass two things. Wealth and children. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us children who will be the coolness of our eyes. And may Allah grant us wealth that will be bearing witness for us and not against us. Do you know that even wealth will bear witness on the day of Qiyamah, how it was used, where it was earned, where it was kept, how it grew, and where it was spent? May Allah make it easy for us to answer the questions. Because if we don't answer them, Allah does not need us to answer the questions. That wealth itself will bear witness. Don't ask me how. It is the qudra and the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So a person gets married. Now when they are married, what happens? If this was their trend throughout their lives, they will probably marry also for the wrong reasons. Marriage is supposed to be, when we are looking for our spouse, we look for the mother of our children or the father of our children. Someone who has qualities that will meet the standard required in order to look after our children when they grow up, or to act as a fatherly figure in the case of women. But nay, we look at wealth. Why? Because our life has been competition. I used to drive a Lamborghini, so I'll marry a woman who drove a Porsche. And if she didn't drive a Porsche, she better have looked like a Porsche. May Allah save us. And this is what we are doing today. So we lose track of what we are supposed to be looking at. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all understanding. Those who are not married here, I hope this can serve as a slight reminder to say, when we want to marry, let us look at the right things. Because in the future, we don't want to regret. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, my creator and yours, He is training us. He is telling us. He is instructing us. He tells us He has created man and woman. And He tells us we should look for a person of the opposite sex who will fit into a certain requirement. When there is a job at your workplace and you are the owner, for example, who will you look for? Someone who can do the job properly. No matter how the woman or the man looks, the fact that she rakes in the millions and the billions, she is your favorite worker. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from amongst those who can also comprehend that when it comes to marriage. So Allah says, thereafter we will amass wealth. Amassing wealth, I have this building, that property, and now age is catching up. Now when age catches up, you cannot engage in la'ib, in that simple play, nor can you engage in that amusement of that level, lahu, nor can you engage in beautifying your own self because now you are old, nor can you begin to compete regarding your power and might and so on and the various small little things because people will laugh at you. Today I mentioned to one of my friends that I know of an 80-year-old man. If you look at him, you will laugh because he pretends to be a 16-year-old child, having dyed his hair totally, clean shaven, driving a little small motor vehicle, darting around from point A to point B. If anyone tells him, how old are you? He says, it's a big secret. Why do you want to lie? Your term in this dunya is about to expire and you don't want to confirm it? Do you know the West, the way the West looks at age and the way Islam looks at age is opposite, totally different. Let me give you an example. When I tell you, brother, you're looking very young, and I know you're about 80, we all get happy. A woman who's about 50 and you tell her you're looking 25, oh, you've made her day and her month, she won't sleep that night. It's a fact. Why? She's happy. Happy with what? Deception. Because of deception of shaitan, she's happy. And Allah says, when it comes to grey hairs, Allah says, do not disguise your grey hairs. فَإِنَّهُ نُورُ الْمُؤْمِنِ. It is the nur of a believer. What nur? When you look in the mirror and you see a grey hair, you should say, Subhanallah. Ya Allah, I am closer now to my grave. I am going to turn towards you, Ya Allah. It should lead you to turn to Allah because you know that 40 years of age, once you've arrived at 40, you are at your peak. فَلَمَّا بَلَغَ أَشُدَّهُ وَبَلَغَ أَرْبَعِينَ سَنَةً. Allah speaks of one of the Anbiya alayhim salatu wassalam saying, when he got to 40 and got to his peak, then he made a certain dua. What is that peak? 40. Which means if you have a mountain, if you draw a graph, going up and then coming down, at 40 you are at the top, now you are coming down the mountain. Allah says, اللَّهُ الَّذِي خَلَقَكُم مِّن ضَعْفٍ ثُمَّ جَعَلَ مِن بَعْدِ ضَعْفٍ قُوَّةً ثُمَّ جَعَلَ مِن بَعْدِ قُوَّةٍ ثُمَّ جَعَلَ مِن بَعْدِ قُوَّةٍ ضَعْفًا وَشَيْبَةً. Allah says, we create you in a weak stage, then we pull you up to the strength, and thereafter, after that strength, we make you weak once again together with grey hairs. And then Allah makes mention in another verse, أَوَلَمْ نُعَمِّرْكُمْ مَا يَتَذَكَّرُ فِيهِ مَنْ تَذَكَّرُ وَجَاءَكُمُ النَّذِيرُ. Did we not give you life long enough for the one to take heed, to take heed? And did the warner not come to you? The Mufassirin say here the warner is the grey hairs. But if you are now 75 years old, lying to yourself that no, I'm still like 20. Allah knows what is inside. Allah knows how old you are. أَعْمَارُ أُمَّتِي مَا بَيْنَ السِّتِّينَ إِلَى السَّبْعِينَ. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that the lifespan, the average lifespan of my ummah is between 60 and 70 years. Subhanallah. This is why when it comes to birthdays, Islam looks at it differently, because the West will tell you you are 1 year older. Islam will say you are 1 year closer to your grave. Imagine if I were, and Allah knows how many times I'm going to breathe before I die. If I had to breathe 50 million times, and then my death is written, every breath I take, am I heading backwards or forwards? I'm getting closer to my last breath. And now I might just be 49,999,000 and 999, one more breath, and I am partying to say, oh, I've turned 70. And I am partying. So Islam says, do not party. It is a point of reflection. You are 1 year closer to your grave. You are not 1 year older. Don't be proud of that. And yes, we should not go around saying, hey, you're looking old. No, no, no. I'm not saying that as well. That is the other side of the coin. So the West will teach us, you're looking young. Yes, mashallah. You're looking well. Alhamdulillah. Allah, may Allah give you a good, long, healthy life so that you can serve Him. A good, long, healthy life that is full of contentment so that He too can be happy with you. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us lives full of contentment and happiness. So, rather than amassing wealth and so on, we should become more mindful of our age. How old are we? Don't allow someone to fool you. And I know some people might be upset with me right now to say this man is dooming us. I'm dooming nobody. It's a reality. Allah says the dunya is a deception. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warns us in so many different ways. He says, do not allow this dunya and your drowning in it to deceive you and to make you forget the fact that one day you also have to die and I too have to die. I'm speaking about myself here. Rather prepare for it. And death is something, whether we like it or not, it's coming to us. It doesn't mean now we must start trembling and we must start becoming depressed, sit in one corner, cigarette after cigarette. Why? We were told I'm going to die at some stage. No. We need to recognize who we are going to go to. He is the most merciful. Death is the best thing that can happen to a believer. Look, you come to the masjid, you read your salah. Allah says you have so many rewards. You give zakah, so many rewards. You smile, so many rewards. You stay away from deception, cheating, jealousy, hatred and so on. You are achieving rewards by abstaining. When are you going to see all that? There is a prize giving night at the school towards the end of the year. If you've worked hard through the year, when do you get your prize? On that night. How do you get it? By going to where the function is held. If you don't go there, are you going to get your prize? You won't. That is why the hadith says, "Tuhfatu al-mu'minil mawtu." The gift of a true believer is death. Because once he dies, now he can go in to collect his prizes. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us prizes. And Allah says, when you seek forgiveness, I will forgive you. So long as your intention is sincere, you've promised Allah, Ya Allah, look, I admit my error. I'm not going to commit it again. And I seek your forgiveness, Ya Allah. Allah says, I've forgiven you. Islam is based on mercy. Think of the first words when we read. What do we say? Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of Allah. Most merciful, most forgiving, most beneficent, most forgiving. We don't say, in the name of Allah, who will punish those who do bad. We never say that. Never ever. Why? Because it is based on forgiveness. What is Surah Al-Fatiha? Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. Subhanallah. We start off speaking about the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We never ever go into the punishment of Allah initially. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent Mu'adh ibn Jabal and Abu Musa al-Ash'ari and various other sahaba to various places through his life. And on one occasion, he told two of the companions, Bashira wa la tunaffira wa yassira wa la tu'assira. When you go out, give good news, glad tidings. Do not give bad news. One of my own ustads used to explain to us that when you go into a community, don't start off by speaking about Jahannam. Because those who are weak, they need to hear the goodness of Jannah. Those who are weak, we need to give them hope. Then automatically when their level comes up, they will begin to ask you about Jahannam. And they will begin to worry. And they will say, but you know what? There is another side of the coin. Yes, we should qualify the statement once in a while by reminding each other that, look, there is a Jahannam and there is punishment. Because al-imanu bayna al-khawfi wal-raja. True iman is the correct balance between the fear in the punishment of Allah and the hope in His mercy. If you don't have a balance, then you won't have that iman. There won't be a driving force. So we need to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us mercy. In that hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, give good news, do not give bad news, and make life easy for people, do not make it difficult. When we start off, we don't start off fulfilling all the small sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Each one is a mountain. And the reward of adopting even one sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is huge. But it should not be done at the expense of a farad. A person comes to you and says, hey, I'm coming to the masjid. No, I'm here to read the sunnah, not the farad. Does it make sense? He doesn't fast in the month of Ramadan. Then after that he tells you, I fast every second day. Does it make sense? So we need to know how to prioritize in deen. Start off with those things that are most important. Three categories. Farad, wajib, and staying away from haram. The most important things. Thereafter, automatically build yourself. Amass. Not amassing the wealth that we're speaking of in the verse that I'm discussing tonight. But amassing the wealth of the akhirah by continuing further. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in a hadith Qudsi, He says, there is nothing more loved by myself than those things which I have made compulsory. And thereafter, a worshipper continues to gain closeness to me by fulfilling the sunnah and nafil until he reaches a very high stage. And that stage is described in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So, we need to constantly amass. Amass what? The wealth that will take us into the akhirah with ease. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues and He says, then people amass wealth. And after they get to a certain age, what do they start boasting and bragging about? My children. I've got 5 children, they're all doctors. Allahu Akbar. May Allah save us. Those children, will they help you? Will they be able to come on the day of Qiyamah? The verses that were read in Salatul Maghrib. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ اتَّقُوا رَبَّكُمْ وَاخْشَوْا يَوْمًا لَا يَجْزِي وَالِدٌ عَنْ وَلَدِهِ وَلَا مَوْلُودٌ هُوَ جَازٍ عَنْ وَالِدِهِ شَيْئًا.
O people, be conscious, be mindful of a day when neither parent will be able to benefit the child, no child will be able to cover something of the parent, and so on. It is Allah, we will be there answering for ourselves. Be mindful of that day. By doing what? By amassing right now good deeds. By not harming others. That is of vital importance. The person who does not harm others, do you want to know the reward of that person? One companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was told that he was from amongst those in Jannah, which means he has earned Jannah already. So some of the companions went to him and asked him, what do you do? What extra deeds do you do? Surely for someone, if Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came and told someone, for you is Jannah, you have a guaranteed place in Jannah, or you have secured your place in Jannah, or Allah is going to grant you a place in Jannah, surely that person must be doing something that is of very, very great importance that others may not be doing. So the Sahabi thought to himself, and he says, no, I do not read all extra salah, and I do not engage in extra acts of worship. Yes, he fulfills his duty. But he says, every night I make sure that I look into my heart. And I remove from my heart any negative feeling against any fellow believer. Then I sleep. I do not allow myself to close my eyes in the night until I have removed all ill feeling and negative feelings against my fellow Muslims. Totally removed. And that is what earned him Jannah. Imagine. How many of us are ready to do that? So many of us have so much baggage in terms of hatred, jealousy, ill-feeling, cheating, deceiving and so on. Even if someone does wrong to you, what is the sunnah? Keep on doing good to them. Yes, I am not saying You know, someone owes you 1,000 and phone him tonight, say, listen, bugger it, I've forgiven you. No, that's not what we are saying. You may continue to seek the course of justice, but without hatred. Someone owes you money, someone is harming you. You can take steps to solve the problem, but positive steps. Don't take negative steps which make the problem worse, because that will not help you in the qabr. And the highest level is when they do bad to you, forgive them totally. That is the highest level. Make dua for them. Ask Allah, Ya Allah, grant this person Jannah. I was taught by one of my own sheikhs that when someone has done bad against you, say for example, backbiting, rumor spreading, jealousy, deception, or what have you, take out a monetary charity on behalf of that person in the morning. Ya Allah, this little piece of wealth is for those who have attacked me throughout my life. I am giving it on their behalf, so accept it from them. That is a very high level. It's not easy to do that. Your enemy, you are giving an act of charity so that they can benefit from it. Ooh, that is extremely difficult to do. Why? Because by doing that, Allah will soften their hearts. And even in the dunya, if they don't know you did it on the day of Qiyamah, there will be so much evil that they have done against you, which will be brought forward. And you have only done good, which will also be brought forward. Allahu Akbar. They will probably get a shock when they see, I strived my whole life trying to damage this person, trying to harm them, trying to steal from them, trying to deceive them, and so on. And this person continued giving me all the goodness. Is that not a quality of prophethood? That is what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to do. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us understanding. So when a person brags about his own children, he must realize one thing. He must understand. He needs to question himself. Ya Allah, today I've got 5 sons. MashaAllah, big, successful. They're looking after me. And this is obviously, we're talking of the ideal case here. Nowadays you've got 5 sons, that means you've got 10 difficulties. Because the son and the daughter-in-law, both of them. May Allah not make that to us. Believe me, I'm not speaking, I'm not just generalizing as such. There are always exceptions, and in fact it might not even be the case. But I'm only saying it to tickle our consciousness, that's all. So, a person has 5 sons and they're benefiting him. He thanks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But we need to ask ourselves, what have I done to prepare this child for the hereafter? Because Allah is going to ask me,
Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu inna min azwajikum wa awladikum aduwan lakum fahdharuhum.
In fact, that verse, I'd like to read another verse and interpret the other verse. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
قُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ وَأَهْلِيكُمْ نَارًا.
Save yourselves and your family members from the fire of Jahannam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, your wives and your children are a test. إِنَّمَا أَمْوَالُكُمْ وَأَوْلَادُكُمْ فِتْنَةً. Your wealth and your children are a test. What test? Make sure you've balanced the upbringing of your children. And make sure you've struck the correct balance. When we make a dua, someone might ask us, so what is the balance? Let me tell you what is the balance. When we make a dua, what is the dua that we are taught?
رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ.
Oh Allah, grant us goodness in the dunya. That is one portion of the dua. This dua is divided into 3 portions. Oh Allah, grant us goodness in the dunya. Oh Allah, grant us goodness in the akhirah. That is the second portion. And oh Allah, save us from the fire. Save us from the torment and punishment of the fire. That is the third portion. So if you are to take 100% and divide it into 3, you get 33 each. 33% was made for the dunya. Is that not correct? And the other 66% were connected to where? To the akhirah. That is the balance. When we bring up our children, we should know the scales should tip and should be heavier regarding the akhirah, not regarding the dunya. Like I gave an example a few days ago, where I said that a person concentrates, imagine the child is being brought up A person sends his child to school and spends money and effort and drops them every morning and picks them up and packs the lunch and everything, not realizing this child, the death of this child is written at the age of 14. No one knows when the death of children is. They may live and they may outlive us, but they may die before us. So then we sent them to the best of high schools and we spent so much money. We sent them here, top schools. But when they die at the age of 14 in the qabr and in the akhirah, when they are asked, who is to blame? Who is to blame? That child is innocent. If the child has not reached the age of puberty and maturity, the child is not going to be punished. But the parents may be taken to task as to why they never ever thought of looking after the children in an Islamic manner. Why they never ever taught the children alif and ba, not even once. And today, how many children really want to learn alif and ba? Do you know why they don't want to learn alif and ba? Because they never see their parents opening that Quran. They never see their parents reading alif and ba or reading anything to do with religion. That is a fact. So in a house where the father and mother engage in the reading of the Quran and so on, you will find automatically as the children grow up, they will fight to do it. But in a house where they hardly see the father and the mother has never read, even if she does, it's in private. What example is laid for the children? So we need to understand, in the same way that a person prepares a child for the dunya, the child needs to be prepared more importantly for the akhirah. And it's never too late. I know of people, when I went to one city and I spoke regarding the issue of children and their rearing, one gentleman came to me and he said, I have done absolutely nothing for my children, but inshallah, now I'm going to do something. The next time I went, he had a full-time teacher, Islamic teacher, at his house teaching his children. And he says, I've built a quarters at the back for this sheikh. The sheikh must stay at the back. I pay him a full salary. He is only here to teach my children. Allahu Akbar. I said, this man swung from one to the other. Allahu Akbar. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us understanding. And this sheikh happened to then start teaching not only the children, but even the parents and even the neighbors. And it grew after some time. So this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is asking us to do. He's asking us to understand what is the dunya so that we know how much to take of it. When we catch a flight from here to even Johannesburg, we know on the aircraft, you are not allowed to take a bag more than 7 kilos. You might get away with about 10, 15 sometimes. But in the hold, you cannot send more than 20 kilos. You might get away with about 30. More than that, you pay. You are penalized. Why? You have excess baggage. Then we understand, before we go, we weigh the bags. Especially when you are going on a long journey. Before you go, we weigh the bags. And we make sure that we are within the limits. Why? Because we are going on a journey. Let me tell you, we are going on a journey from the dunya to the akhirah. We are also going with baggage. Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu used to say, حَاسِبُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ قَبْلَ أَن تُحَاسَبُوا. Take account of your deeds before they are taken account of by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Which means, how you stand on the scale and look at whether this is 20 or 25, 30, then you take out some things, you add some things and subtract certain things, and you put some things in the hand and some things in the hole to make sure that you fit somehow. The same thing do to your deeds. How many deeds have I fulfilled that will take me into the akhirah with ease? And we need to still make changes. Our bags are not yet locked and sealed. They are still open. We can take out certain things and put certain things. Take out those things that are not going to benefit us in any way and put those things that will benefit us. Let me get to the last portion of this verse. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, do you know what is the example of this? Now I've told you how it works. Allah has told us how it works. Now, do you know what is the example of this? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves to give us examples. He says, it is just like the rain that falls on barren land. Imagine, barren land. The farmers have sown their seeds And now the rain falls. Everyone becomes happy. And the crop begins to grow. What color is it when it first grows? It's green. Green crop. And the farmers become so happy and they get excited. And the crop grows higher and higher. And after a certain time, you find it starts wilting if it's not harvested. It begins to wilt. And after it wilts, it gets yellow, brownish yellow, and it dies. The lifespan of the crop is also finished. It needs to be harvested at a certain time. With us, some die whilst they are still green. Others get old and they wilt, then they die. But they still have to go. The question is, are we ready for that? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَتَاعُ الْغُرُورِ. The life on this dunya is just provisions of the deceit, of the deceitful and of the deceivers. We should not be deceived by it. Never. We must know, yes, we have to live in it. We will try. We will go to college, to school. We will get our degrees. We will do whatever we have to. But we will also come to the masjid. We will also read our Quran. We will also be happy in our homes. We will also look after our children, smile at our wives. Every smile that a person smiles at his or her spouse, it will come on the day of Qiyamah to bear witness for you. Every problem you solved, you will earn rewards. And every problem you made and you caused, what do you expect to earn in return? So we need to think of this. Don't allow yourselves to be deceived by it. Never. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the very next verse, Allah says, سَابِقُوا إِلَى مَغْفِرَةٍ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ. Race for the forgiveness of Allah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us forgiveness. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mercy on us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us lessons regarding this dunya, that we develop in the dunya, but we must not become oblivious of the akhirah. May He make us from amongst those who can prepare solidly and truly for the life after death. And may Allah make it easy for us the day we die. May He take us away with a smile. And this is why when a person is in sakarat, we should only remind them of the good they have done. Only remind them of the good and remind them of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For definitely, it is only through the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we will be entering Jannah. May Allah grant that to us. May He make us the companions of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the akhirah. And may He grant us the loftiest of ranks. May He allow us to be from amongst those who can spread love and not from amongst those who spread hatred. May He allow us to be from amongst those who can solve problems and not from amongst those who create problems. May He remove from our hearts jealousy, deception, cheating, stealing, and all forms of evil. Wa sallallahu wa sallama wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad. Subhanallahi wa bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.
Syntax CD Productions, bringing the sounds of Islam to you.